Hallelujah. Grab your Bibles if you would and turn. Hallelujah. To the book of Ephesians. Hallelujah. Man, I've tossed back and forth about what to preach tonight. Man, feel like maybe this is the direction for us to go tonight. Amen. The book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 27, just a small verse that we're going to read to you as our text tonight. Okay, we'll read it as our text, and then I want to preach to you for just a little while. Amen. Probably won't be long. Amen, but I want to preach to you a little bit. Ephesians 4, 27, neither give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. Before you close your Bibles, you might just look there with me as I talk about this, but you can see that what Paul is writing about and talking about as he's dealing with the Ephesians and the church of Ephesus, he says there in verse 25, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, remembers one for another, be angry, sin not, let the sun not go down on your wrath. And then he says, neither give place to the devil. Let him that steals, that stole, steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands. Amen. I think that he's dealing with an issue here, and especially in verse 26. It's a very emotional issue that he's dealing with, and anger and letting Satan get a hold of something in your life and use it against you.
Right.
All right? That's what he's saying. And when we look at that verse, you know, be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Amen. You know that anger is a very difficult emotion to deal with, right? But sometimes it's not just anger, but our emotions is something that Satan can use as a tool against us. Amen. But I want us to focus on that one verse. Amen. Neither give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. Have you ever had a salesman drop by your house to visit with you? Did you ever have a salesman come by, amen, and stop by your house to try to sell you Omaha steaks? Did you ever have a salesman try to stop by and to sell you on a Kirby vacuum cleaner? Sell you on life insurance? Right? Yeah. They come and they arrive at the door with a message for you that, you know, that's just too good to be true. This is a rock bottom price. And then when you try to get out of it, it is almost as if they put their foot in the door. And they've got like, we're not leaving. Don't try to close that door. Not. Don't you dare try. We're not going nowhere. You're not going nowhere. We've still got to, you know. Neither give place to the devil. Neither give place. That's what I want to talk to you about tonight, all right? Amen. The Lord will help us. Amen. Because sometimes we're not careful. Amen. We give the enemy a place to work in our life. We give the enemy an opportunity to work in our life. David, he had just recently become king. He had a desire to take the city. And the Jebusites had settled into the city of Jerusalem there, that stronghold. They'd created a stronghold, a place where they had kind of just entrenched themselves in the land of promise, in the inheritance of God's people. They really weren't really causing that much trouble. You know, they was just there. They just had a stronghold right there in the middle of God's property, right there where God's people dwelt. They had a stronghold. The Jebusites. David went and he took the city and he delivered the city from the Jebusites. Amen. And we know the story how David was king. But the fact was, amen, that the enemy had a foothold in the land of promise. That was not God's intention. That's not God's plan. And many times we feel like that, you know, well, you know, the Jebusites aren't causing us no problem. We've lived with them and coexisted with them for a long time. We've got along just well with one another, and there's really not any problem. But the fact was, they did not belong in the promised land of God. Amen. There's many times that if we're not careful, Satan, he is very deceivious. And he comes and he tries, amen, to find an area in your life where he can establish a foothold, where he can establish a stronghold in your life. Amen. He comes and he comes in a sometimes very very delicately. He comes very cautiously. He comes very happily into your life. Amen. To try to find a place where he can have a foothold, a place where he can lodge himself into your life. You see, Satan does not want you to be totally sold out to God. He does not want you to have a 100% sold out, amen, believer in Jesus Christ. Amen. He don't want you to just be completely given over to God. He does not want you to say, yes, Lord, and surrender all to him. He wants you to always to have a little place for him in your life. He wants you to always have a little place that he can abide, a little place where he can dwell. He likes to have a place. He likes to have a place. You remember the story of Nehemiah? Nehemiah had come from, and he came to the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the city walls were torn down. The gates were burned. Amen. The enemy was, there was a reproach of, against, the, and it was just a bad situation Nehemiah came to. Nehemiah came, and with the help of the Lord, they rebuilt the walls. While they was rebuilding the walls, they had adversaries that came against them, that warred against them. They lied on Nehemiah. They fought against Nehemiah. They tried to kill Nehemiah. They did everything against Nehemiah to try to get him out. These enemies, they came against him. But Nehemiah prevailed. Nehemiah built the wall. Nehemiah built the gates. And there came a time that Nehemiah had to return back to Babylon. He had to go back and report to the king. And, you know, now that the temple's there, the walls are built, everything's good. Nehemiah goes, he gives his report, he comes back to Jerusalem. And when he gets back to Jerusalem, he discovers, amen, that the priest had moved. One of the arch enemies of Nehemiah. The one that had opposed the building of the wall. They had cleared out a room in the temple and allowed him to move in to the temple. They were letting him live right there. Nehemiah came, and when Nehemiah saw it, boy, let me tell you what, Nehemiah was angry. Nehemiah served him an eviction notice. Nehemiah kicked him out and threw his stuff out. Amen. And said, you know, get it out of here. We're not going to have that. Because you know what? The enemy always likes to have a place. He always wants a place in your life. He don't have to have the biggest room. He don't have to have the biggest thing. All he wants is a place. A place. Yeah. All he wants is just a little place where he can quietly abide. Well, just a corner. Just give me a nail to hang on. Just give me a little place there that I can come. Just give me a little place. Satan always likes to have a place. Not just in Brother David's life, but in every one of your lives, Satan wants to have a place. Satan wants that place. You say, oh, Brother David, no way, man. I'm not giving him anywhere in my life. Not giving him anywhere in my life. Oh, be careful, because Satan, he comes very slyly trying to find a place in your life. You see, he don't have to have some big thing that he works with. He just starts with something little, something very little. When I look at the scripture, I find there is people that allowed Satan just to have a place. Just to have a place. Good people. Good people. And the one that I was thinking of, I was thinking of Judas. You say, well, wait, Judas wasn't a good man, was he? Well, I believe that he was a good man. I believe there was a lot of good things about Judas. I believe that there was good things. I mean, the Lord selected him. Now, did the Lord say, oops? Was that one of those mistakes, Brother Jonathan, that the Lord made? Was that when Jesus messed up choosing Judas to be one of the 12? I don't think so. I don't think so. But the problem with Judas was, even though he was around the things of God, even though he heard the teachings of Christ, even though he saw miracles firsthand and he witnessed such great things, there was still a place in his life, a little area of his life that was not surrendered to God, that Satan had discovered a place. A place. And Judas never was able, amen, to get Satan out of that place in his life, amen, and to surrender that place to God. And you know the story, how that one day Satan, amen, came out of his place and he filled the heart of Judas to betray the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. Just a little place. Judas, my goodness, man, you were in the best church in the world. Judas, you had the best pastor in the world. How could you mess up? How could you mess up? Because Satan was given a place. A place. That's right. You know, I think the Lord knew about Peter's place as well. Better than Peter did, because the Lord said, you're going to deny me. Oh no, not me, Lord. Not me. I'll never deny you. I'll never deny you. You're going to deny me. Lord, not me. Boy, look at all these others, Lord. They would, but Lord, not old, good old brother Peter. Amen, not me, Lord. But the Lord knew there was a place inside of Peter. He knew there was a place there that wasn't totally surrendered. And sure enough, when he got around the fire of the enemy and the pressure came against Peter and he was questioned and he was quizzed, amen, he denied the Lord 3 times. And when he heard the cock crow, amen, it broke his heart because he realized there was a place. What about you tonight? What about you? And Paul, he was a great man of God, great preacher, great missionary, great evangelist. I tell you, he could preach, and man, he could preach all night. He could preach till the Eutychuses went to sleep. Amen. Me and him have a lot in common in that regard. But he could preach and good things could happen. He had good men that followed him. Man, what about Barnabas? Right? What about those good men that followed? What about Luke that was with him, that hung with him to the very end? He had good men that followed him. And there was one by the name of Demas that followed him. I don't think Demas was a bad person. I don't think Demas hated the Lord. But I think Demas loved the Lord. I think he loved Paul. I think he loved the ministry. I think he loved the work of God. But what did Paul say? Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. The problem was, amen, that Demas had a place in his heart that he allowed Satan to lodge in his life. Amen, and when the time came and the pressure came, he caved to Satan. Amen, because there was that place. That place. Got to be careful that you don't let Satan have a place in your life. Yes, it can happen. See, sometimes Satan, he knows where to look for the place. The place. Man, all you guys that hunt out at the campground, you like to deer hunt? Amen. It won't be long here, in just a month or two, you'll be out, start scouting your place. You'll be looking for your place that you're going to go. I already got my place. If the tree hasn't fallen down, I'll probably be in the same place. Me and the deer got a very good agreement going on. We work it out. But I got my place, you know, your place. And, you know, the reason is you're going to scout that out because you are looking for a strategic advantage in order to shoot yourself some venison. That's what you're looking for, a strategic place where you can be there that you can do. And so what do? You're going to wake up way early one morning. And you're going to go and you're going to get up there long before daylight. You're going to have washed your clothes in scentless detergent. You're going to have taken a shower in scentless soap. And you're going to be out of your senses, and you're going to go out there and sit in the cold. And you're going to climb up in there in the dark. And you're going to sit there up there in the dark. And you're going to be waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting as the sun comes up and the sun goes down. Amen. But you'll go out the next day. And you'll wait, and the next day, and you'll wait, and you'll go the next day until right at one time. Amen. You will wait for your moment. You will wait for your time. Satan is looking for a place. He is trying to find a place in your life that he can destroy you spiritually. Let me just tell you how he finds these places. Amen. Sometimes when we get hurt, somebody does something to hurt us. We get our feelings hurt. We get offended. The pastor says something. He offends us. Somebody didn't shake your hand, and you're offended. Somebody spoke ill of you. Somebody did wrong. But now you've got a spot in your heart where you're tender, where you've been hurt, and Satan has found a place. Satan has found a place. You allow yourself to get angry. You allow yourself to get bitter. You allow yourself, amen, to absorb and to take in all of the hurt and all of the pain. And you dwell on it and you think on it. And it festers and it grows. And guess what? Satan has found a place in your life. You may think, Lord, I can deal with it. I can deal with it. I can be angry at that person and still deal with it. No, you can't, because Satan will use that against you. Satan uses it. You go through some particularly dark trial. Some very difficult place. Maybe you suffer rejection. Maybe you suffer hurt. Whatever it is, through that trial, through that very difficult and hard thing that you have faced in your life, suddenly there is a seed planted in your heart. There is a seed of distrust, a seed of unbelief that is placed in your heart, that God, you let me down, that you failed me here. You try to go on. You try to push on. You try to serve God, but Satan has found his place. And if you never get it resolved with God, amen, Satan will dwell there in that place, in your heart, seated upon that unbelief in your life. Amen, until he can come and rise up and use that little element of unbelief inside of you to destroy all your faith in God and to make you question God completely. I have seen when Satan finds a place in somebody's life and he uses it to their destruction. Just a place. Just a place. Yeah. See, it happens when we decide that we are going to let down in our standard in just one little area. You've lived this way forever. You've lived and you believed the same thing you've lived, you know, for years. But maybe it's a new job. Maybe it's a new friend. Maybe it's some new influence in your life that makes you begin to question what you've always believed. And the next thing you know, you've backed up in one little area. I've heard people say, yeah, I've changed, but you know what? I'm just the same I've always been. I've got one little thing there, but I'm still the same. Still love the Lord, still serving God. You have to be careful when you let the enemy have even one place. One place. Young people, you go to youth camp and the preacher preaches to you. You make fresh commitments to God. You make fresh dedications to the Lord. You give up things out of your life. You sell out some things to the Lord. Amen. You know what? I mean, you go, Maybe it's, I know we haven't had one yet this year, I don't believe, but make your trip to the burn barrel and you throw in your trash and all of your junk that you've been, you know, that God's been speaking to you about and you've been feeling convicted about it and God's been talking to your heart, and you kind of make some surrenders and you make some fresh consecrations to the Lord, but yet you hold back in just one area. Just one little thing. Satan's found his place. And Satan will use that place to rise up and bring destruction into your life.
Yes, he will. Amen.
Brother David, I don't know of any place in my life. The scripture says, neither give place to the devil. Don't even let him have not one foothold. If there's anything in your life, you need to remove it. Amen. Because one day there's going to come a tempter against you. And he will know of the one place in your life. He will know of one hidden sin. He will know of that one weakness in your life. And he will come against you and he will attack you in that area. He will rise up out of his place. He is not going to live there and coexist with you forever. But realize his ultimate plan, his ultimate goal is your destruction. Amen. He has come to seek, amen, to those that he can devour. Amen. And he does want to destroy you. He's come to appease, to play nice. And that word that Brother Dwayne Gallagher used the other day, I love it. He's come just for funsies. Satan does not do anything for funsies. Satan does not come to appease. Satan did not come to play nice. But the Bible says he's come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And last time I looked in my dictionary and in my thesaurus, all three of those are really, really bad.
Amen.
That's right.
Yes, they are.
Don't give place to.
Amen.
Don't give place to. Brother David, it's just this little thing I have, you know. Me and God's made an arrangement. You made an arrangement with God, really? How'd you negotiate that? Me and God, we've got an arrangement and we've worked it out. I can have my one little thing here. No. See, you give place to the devil. Give place to the devil. Amen. You need to search your heart. You need to search your heart. That there is no place that Satan can bring about destruction in your life. No place. It don't matter if you're a preacher. It don't matter who you are, teacher, bus worker. It don't matter who you are. If you have just one place. How many of you know what a squatter is? You need to read a good Louis L'Amour book sometime and learn what a squatter is. The rancher can have thousands of acres that he grazes his cattle on. But what the squatter does is he just builds a little cabin, often some very unused portion of the rancher's property. And there he settles in, and there he dwells. First, he starts off with just a little bitty cabin. The next thing you know, he's got a little bit of livestock. The next thing you know, he's built onto the cabin and he's got 20 kids. Hey, back in those days, they had big families. The next thing you know, he's beginning to spread out. Now he's running cattle. Now he's got horses. And before long, he's got as big a ranch house as you've got. That's the way Satan works. He wants to come, and he wants to just take one little area of your life.
Right.
One little area. Can I encourage you tonight, God, search my heart, that there's not even one place.
Amen.
One place. Man, young people, it can be a boy, it can be a girlfriend. Can. Yeah. Men, it can be that friend at work. That's right. Hey, you know, you got to be careful. Remember that story, and I'm closing with this. Remember that story of David and Bathsheba? Horrible story. Horrible story. But the man of God came by, Nathanael came by. He came to David, and he put out his long, bony finger and pointed into David's face and said, "Thou art the man." But he told him a story first. He told him about the man that had a great flock of sheep, had a great number of sheep. And that man that had great number of sheep went and killed and slaughtered the one lamb that belonged to his neighbor. That man that just had one sheep. When the traveler came and said, "Hey, I need a place to sleep." The traveler came, "I need food to eat." He went over and he killed the lamb of his neighbor. And I taught this in the Sunday school class about that traveler. That traveler, you know, why did he just pass him by? He didn't live there. He didn't dwell there. He was just passing by for a moment. And when the man opened up the door and invited him in, he gave a place. You know what? Sometimes when Satan comes traveling by, you need to keep him going. You need to put out a sign, "No vacancy in my life." There's no place for you, Satan. No place. Would you stand with me tonight?